Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News. Greetings to everyone around the globe. I welcome you back to another wonderful segment here with ACC Global News. I am your host, Matthew Connor, and again, I am very happy to be with all of you here today, really on a very special segment that we have here today. And today, the real focus of the show will be around alcoholism and addiction, and we really have a very special guest on here to really speak with the audience about this. Today, we have back with us again motivational coach Donna Folcarelli, and she is the founder of Directions for Life. Now, so many of us out there know so many people that are dealing with some form of alcohol addiction. And it comes in so many different ways. There are some people that don't realize that they're in the early stages of addiction. And there's many different things and different signs of what people should look for. But again, when it comes to alcohol, this is something that really touches just about all of us. And we all know someone that is affected by alcohol in one way or another. And if you do, again, just please grab a seat, get very comfortable, because the special guest that we have today not only has specific experiences herself dealing with alcoholism, but again, she's ready to help anyone out there that does feel alone or that does need to reach out and get some form of assistance to get through it. Now, it is now the 26th of February. I would like to remind everybody tuning in today, if you do miss any portion of our segment today with Donna, and we also have a previous segment that we've done with Donna as well, you can actually find all of our archive shows on our website. Please visit our website at accglobalmedia.com. And also, if you're a big part of social media, just about everyone is now these days, and we are on Facebook. Please visit us at facebook.com/ACC Global Media. And we're also part of the worldwide Twitter. And everybody, you can actually listen to the show live from any one of these platforms. You can go onto our Twitter page. You can actually click on the link. And we are on twitter.com/ACC Global Media. And again, you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. And again, as I was speaking on earlier, and we'll definitely get to our featured guests in a minute or so, alcoholism is something that millions of people are dealing with right now in our country. And again, if you're over the age of 21, many people have access to it. This is something that's it's legal. It's readily available. And it's hitting people at all sects of life. I mean, you could have people that are homeless dealing with alcoholism, the same way you can have somebody that's really the head of a million-dollar corporation also dealing with alcoholism. Fathers, daughters, mothers. This is an issue that really nobody is immune to. Alcohol addiction is something that could really touch anybody from anywhere, any gender, any race. And this is something that I feel that should be really spoken about more often because of the amount of people that die in alcohol-related accidents, things of that nature. But again, what we have with us today is a special person in Donna Folcarelli. Again, she is the founder of Directions for Life, and she's had her own personal experiences with a family member dealing with alcohol addiction, and she was actually able to help him really overcome really something that so many people never find a way to really overcome and deal with. She was able to help him beat alcohol addiction. And this is what she will be speaking about today and really focusing on. And to everybody tuning in right now, if you feel that maybe, hey, I may have this problem or I may know someone that does, again, please listen very closely to the words that our special guest will be sharing today. To our audience today, I am very proud to present to you motivational coach, founder of Directions for Life, Miss Donna Folcarelli. How are you doing today, Donna?
I am great, Matthew. Thank you for having me back. How are you?
I am doing very well. Now, Donna, if you could first quickly share to the people that didn't get an opportunity to catch your previous segment, who exactly is Donna Folcarelli?
So I am a motivational coach, and I have a background in clinical social work, and I am also certified in EMDR therapy. But first and foremost, I'm a person that had a lot of personal experience, and I had a lot of hurdles to jump over in my life. And to this day, I still have hurdles to jump over, and I still suffer repercussions from my past. I am a very optimistic person who believes anything is possible, and I love a challenge. My greatest joy, one of them, is seeing individuals turn their lives back around and start living their lives again. I feel that every experience in our life, good, bad, or indifferent, is an experience that we learn and grow from. And I think we're all works in progress along the journey that we are taking.
And you did mention something very important as far as that we're all continuously learning throughout life. So, again, people will never reach to a point where we'll know everything. There's always more for us to learn. Now, Donna, again, I touched on this earlier with the listeners. You do have a very unique story. If you could please share with the audience your personal journey that's really led you to where you are here today.
Sure, Matthew. So I grew up in what one may call a dysfunctional family. I was the youngest of four. I had three older brothers, and then there was myself. And my dad suffered from alcohol dependency. And when he became intoxicated, he was not a very nice person. He was very physical, and he would often beat my mother and my brothers when I was very young, to a point that I remember my teeth would be chattering like the wind-up ones. Like it was overwhelming, especially I was only very little. I think it started at maybe I was 6 or 7 years old that I can remember as far back as. As this went on, I started looking at my father a little differently because he was the nicest person in the world, but then when he drank, he turned into someone I didn't know. So I started to connect some dots into why he drank, and I started looking at it from a different perspective. As time went on, he went through all my brothers one at a time and my mom, and then I came up for it was my turn, but I took another route. I stood up to him, and I offered to help him. I didn't back away from him. I wasn't afraid of him. I confronted him on what was going on with him. And I kind of remember reminding him who he was and who he wasn't. From this day on, I always felt a feeling of accomplishment, and it led me down a road that I wanted to help everyone. But it was also a dangerous path for me being so young. I myself ended up suffering repercussions from I thought I was going to fix the world, and I had a tendency of finding what appeared to be the baddest boys and trying to help them, and quite often it was at my own expense. I suffered some sexual abuse from one, and I married a man with severe legal issues, which were way, way bigger than me. this was my introduction into the legal system myself. And to this day, I run into issues from that. I've had many health issues, 26 surgeries, many stemming from the sexual abuse. I ran into issues with drug abuse, with close family members, and other issues with alcohol abuse and caregiver issues with my mom. And it was a little more than that, but we're going to stop there. And this was my foundation, but it's also the foundation that led me to go into social work and to have a strong desire to help others, to use my negative experience to hopefully help others overcome what they're going through.
And to everybody tuning in out there, there's two things I do want to touch on. First, I want you all to realize the experience that Donna Folcarelli actually has in life and dealing with situations. And I respect everyone out there. And Donna's very well educated. She's universities. But again, I respect everyone out there that knows everything through the books. And that all very much matters. But I put a lot of value to people that's actually been there and that's actually experienced certain things firsthand. I believe it's invaluable. What I also believe is invaluable is having someone by your side that has had this experience as well. Someone by your side, again, where it's not just off of a book. They're actually able to relate to you. They're actually able to understand. They're actually able to see what you are able to see because they have seen it themselves. Now, touching on your story, the part of your story that you mentioned now about your father, being able to share that journey of the recovery, really, of alcohol with your father. Outside of, let's say, relapse, Donna, what do you feel was the most difficult part of the process for him when it came to recovery?
So I feel forgiving himself was the hardest part in gaining others' trust. Here was a man who had so many demons to deal with, but now he had even more that he acquired due to his abusive behavior. So he had guilt. He had shame. My dad self-medicated himself a lot, and unfortunately, a lot of it had to do with my mom. I mean, they weren't the best match, so she was a trigger for him. So how do you continue to keep living with someone that's triggering you when, in fact, they were one of the reasons that you went to self-medicate? And it's not an excuse. It's not, you know, she can't be blamed. But this was just something that their relationship had some issues. So I feel that was one of his biggest problems, because here he was in recovery and trying to be abstinent from alcohol, but yet my mom was always reminding him of what he did, or every time he looked at her, he remembered what he did. And back then, Al-Anon, that, you know, there wasn't a lot of that going on, or she might have not been in a position to go to meetings, because back then, you know, the woman stayed home and took care of the children. So there were a lot of obstacles in the way for her also. But this, unfortunately, was one of his biggest problems. How do you get past something and past a trigger that you live with, and how do you forgive yourself when you're looking at that person that you hurt so deeply every day of your life? So that's what I feel was his hardest part to get over.
Now, to everyone out there, Donna actually started helping out her father at the age of 13, which is really very young. What I would like to know, Donna, you've actually attended AA meetings with your father from as young as age 13. What did you learn from really listening to some of the other people that were attending some of these meetings?
So one of my clearest memories from then is I remember seeing a young boy at 12 years old getting up there and saying he was an alcoholic. And I'll never forget that little boy at the time. And I just wonder, I wish I could have known where he was and what he's doing these days. I'm sure he's making great strides to help others. But I remember being that young and thinking how widespread it was and what a diverse audience it was. And I remember hearing like stresses.
Years old.
I remember stresses and the same stories, like not dealing with emotions and a lot of similar triggers. And I remember, though, seeing individuals, and I even went with my father a couple of times, that were at those meetings and were intoxicated a bit, but they still were there with their sponsors. And I always thought that that was amazing, that no matter what, the sponsors and the level of support that was given to all these individuals was amazing to me. So looking back, it's something that affects everyone. And I remember hearing a lot of stories, and even today, about, especially from this 12-year-old, that he was a victim of alcoholic parents, and he would see his parents drinking and arguing. And it led him to say, hey, let me see what this is. And unfortunately, at such a young age, he became an alcoholic. I think he was drinking from the age of 8 or 9.
Wow.
To the point where it was amazing. I mean, the things I remember hearing and seeing were just overwhelming at such a young age. But now when I look back, I just say these people are amazing people that, you know, to get up there and make that first step and admit you're an alcoholic, and the people that are helping support them and the sponsors. I mean, it takes a team, and there is a team there. There was a team there, and that's what my father needed. He needed a team.
Yes, and I believe support is so essential in beating alcoholism. What I would like to know, Donna, for the people out there that are tuning in right now, some people are wondering, because they may have a friend that may seem to drink a lot, but they're not sure, or maybe a loved one. For the people are wondering if they do have a friend or a loved one that may be an alcoholic, or maybe even themselves, they're on the fence, they're not sure. What are some of the signs of an alcoholic that maybe some people can look out for?
So some of the signs may be exhibiting signs of irritability and extreme mood swings, making excuses for drinking, such as I need to relax, deal with stress, or feel normal, choosing drinking over other responsibilities and obligations, becoming isolated and distant from friends and family members, drinking alone or in secrecy, feeling hungover when not drinking, so the next day they need that drink to kind of feel better, their appearance, changing appearance in a group of acquaintances you hang out with, just totally all of a sudden disappear and you're hanging out with a whole different crowd. Drinking even though all's falling apart, your family, your job, you just continue to drink. Slurred speech. Some people try to mask it. You'll see people, you know, always eating mints or start drinking. Yeah. Maybe if you go out with them, you notice they're changing their drink. A lot of kids will drink vodka or something that you can't smell to try to, you know, not be known that they're drinking, inappropriate sexual and aggressive behavior, and blackouts, short-term memory loss. Those are some of the things to look out for.
And you've seen all of these things basically firsthand.
I have. Again, I went through other issues with family members along the way. So, yeah. I mean, I think you got to look for red flags, and if you start noticing somebody's behavior changing, and at first it might be, well, I'm going to go have a drink to relax, but you have to start notice if a pattern's developing. I mean, Matthew, nobody gets up in the morning and says, I want to be, or nobody was born here, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Nobody gets up and says, I'm going to turn into an alcoholic at 12 o'clock, I'm going to drink my day away. So it's important to look for those red flags and to try to catch them before, you know, those red flags are waving really high and you can't help that person. But again, it's every day. It's every minute sometimes at the beginning. It's each minute makes a difference. For me, I noticed with people that they get cravings, and if you can help that person get through that craving for 5 or 10 minutes is absolutely very important, because that might be the difference of that first drink early in the morning.
Yes. Wow. And to think that people would wake up in the morning and need to reach for a drink to feel better, it's really almost sad, and it's difficult. I could almost get a visual of what some people could be going through. And again, to everyone out there, And if you feel this is you or a loved one, this is a time where many people feel alone. And you do not need to feel alone. There's people out there that has, again, a lot of experience that can help you get through these situations. Now, Donna, you touched on one thing with your personal story as far as the physical abuse that was involved with it. Why do you feel that so many alcoholics tend to physically abuse others around them, or even people that may love them most?
Well, I feel there's a few different reasons. And again, everybody's different. Everybody's fighting their own battles. They have their own demons. But some of the ones that I think are more prominent reasons, I think where my father was concerned, and this is pretty much a lot, this is widespread for a lot of individuals, because you got to remember, most of the time we're trying to block out reality and not deal with emotions. So some people stuff their emotions. They don't verbalize their feelings of frustration or discontent, especially with the relationship. So they may feel uncomfortable approaching their partner with their feelings. But while they're under the influence of alcohol, they become bolder and they let their feelings loose. Now you're unleashing some feelings, that pent-up anger that's been in there for quite a while. And I believe that's what my dad did. Another issue could be people drinking. They're in denial about their problem, and they're trying to get rid of those problems. But underneath that surface, there's often, again, this is also my father's shame and guilt about their drinking. But when they're intoxicated, these emotions come up and they manifest into anger and rage. And believe me, I saw this. When my father was coming through them doors, all my mother had to do was say one word to him, and that anger and rage came out. And many times it is directed towards the loved one because they're expecting that loved one to help them. And sometimes the loved one doesn't know how to help them. So it actually can make things worse sometimes. So I think that my father abused the people he loved. He was trying to put that hurt onto them. It was almost sometimes I thought a cry for help. And he released that hurt and that pain he felt into the same people that he wished were helping him. So I think he tried to mask it with his drinking, but it made it worse. Lastly, I think a lot of people in certain professions, maybe sometimes correctional officers, policemen, any individual that is in that line of work, I think they lash out to their significant other as a stress relief, feeling safer doing it that way. And the loved one becomes basically like a whipping post of sorts for pent-up frustration.
Yes.
And usually it's over an issue that has nothing to do with that recipient. It's just the alcohol brings this out.
And I've seen it firsthand with people that do drink a lot. It can really take that one word that could trigger them. It could be anything. So, Donna, for the people out there that are suffering or know someone that is suffering from alcohol addiction, can you please share with the audience why you feel that you may be able to help them get this addiction under control?
I feel that I have a lot of personal experience, and I've been through it more than just once with a loved one. And you mentioned this, you touched upon this earlier, and I'm a firm believer that sometimes we have to look outside the lines of the textbook and dive into the personal attributes of each person individually. And I do that. I mean, I'm a firm believer. You have to look at every single thing and go all the way to the root. It's not always the same issue for everyone that causes addiction, and it's not always the same treatment for everyone. So I'm willing to go the extra mile to get to the root of the issue and fix the issue. So although, yes, I believe in the research, I believe in the textbooks, I believe in all that, but I believe in a little extra personal attention and the acknowledgement that even the treatment, what works for you might not work for me, and what bothers you might not bother me. So we really got to dive into who you are as a person and how you handle your situations and your coping skills, and it's a tailored-made plan for each individual that comes to me.
And do you feel like mental support is needed or is, let's say, essential in dealing with alcoholism?
Absolutely. I mean, this could be the key to not starting and to stopping. Almost all the reasons we get addicted stem from a root. We need to trace it and take control of it once and for all. Once we can control the issues we're trying to avoid, we gain control over our emotions and our mental well-being. And we start changing the habits we created to self-medicate and block out reality in painful situations. We start taking control back of our lives.
So if I'm sitting at home right now and I know I have a big problem with alcohol, what is really the first process that you would address when I first reach out to you?
So first, I'm going to look at the scope of abuse for medical necessity. Some people can't just stop, because they're past that point, and physically it could be detrimental on the body and even lead to death. So withdrawal is something we have to look at seriously. Depending on where you are, the body withdraws differently depending on how much alcohol it has going into it. So
withdrawal could also lead to death as well.
Well, if you are into alcohol, you may need medical help to withdraw. There's different.
Yes.
You can have Korsakoff syndrome, and you could have a thiamine deficiency.
Wow.
There's a lot going on. So you can't just withdraw if you're past that point of that you're living on alcohol and you're not even eating. We really need to look at medically where you are with drinking. You could go into tremors when you stop. There's a lot that goes on when you pass a certain point. So first and foremost, I would look at medical necessity. And then I would start at the beginning. You need to be ready to stop and admit you do have a problem with alcohol. So that's the first step. From there, I take a walk with you from as far back as you remember and get some background information. We look for recurring issues, which may be triggers to the behavior. It's a very long process. And although the alcohol abuse may have started during a marriage, it could be related to something from childhood. So it could have been something you carried over. A lot of individuals like that young boy that I saw that was 12 year old at the time when I went with my dad.
Yes.
That happened to him because it acquired it from his parents. So we never know where it came from. And that's something we have to find out. What is leading to this behavior? Obviously we're strictly talking about alcohol, but when it comes to medications, it could be from taking legal medications led to a problem. So we need to trace this back.
And every time you mention this 12-year-old, it's like it's bringing up this vision in my head. It's really bringing out the reality that this can touch just about any one of us. Now, we have just about 2 minutes left. Before anything, can you quickly share with the audience how exactly you hold your sessions once they do reach out to you?
So I provide motivational coaching. When dealing with alcohols, it depends on the individual, where they are in life. Sessions could be attending AA, office visits, learning coping strategies, becoming involved in positive coping skills. I'm available when needed, especially at the beginning of tackling this disease, and it is crucial to have supports in place. And I will be one of those supports whenever you need me.
And people, that constant support, it's almost invaluable. I can't even put a number on it, on what it's worth. Can you please share with the audience, where can they go to sign up for your program or get more information if they have a loved one they feel needs help as well?
So they can go online to my website, which is directionsforlife.net. All my contact information is on there. They can send me an email, a phone call. If it's a text, makes them more comfortable just to get some information, that's fine also. I start where they are. Wherever they are, I will even go to them if need be, if they're within my area.
And give them your website one more time.
Directionsforlife.net.
And to everyone out there, the first step is reaching out for help. And you should be reaching out to somebody that's been there. I thank everybody for joining us today for this very special segment. We're just about out of time. I do want to thank our very special guest for joining us today, Donna. Thank you very much for speaking on this very important topic.
Thank you, Matthew. You have a wonderful day.
to you as well. And to our audience out there, please visit accglobalmedia.com for all of our future show dates and times. And I look forward to having you all back with us again the next show.